We're going to be looking at John chapter 21. John chapter 21, so if you can turn there so long. There was a little boy who visited his grandfather's church in England and was so bored during the service. It was just going on forever and ever and ever and ever. And eventually the service came to an end. The final hymn was sung and the pastor was gathering at the door near towards the vestry, and the little boy is waiting to shake the pastor's hand, noticed a whole couple of plaques. And there were some plaques there from those who had died in World War I and World War II. And so he turned around to the grandfather and he said, "Grandfather, what are those?" And he said, "Those are people that died in the service." And the little boy said, "Was that the evening or the morning service?" Don't we sometimes get into a rut? I don't know about you, but I know I do. So often we kick into auto mode. I've been in youth ministry, I think, 19 years now. And you can kick into youth, auto mode. I know what games we can do. This is Old Faithful. Let's do this. Or we need to do this. And we kick into a rut. Spiritually, we kick into a rut. We just need to go to church. We just need to do this. We just need to do this. We just need to do this. In life, sometimes we kick into these ruts that go on. And we start to see something that takes place here in John 21. We see the disciples have seen Jesus. Jesus has raised from the dead. He has appeared to the disciples many accounts, and John records two previous accounts with the disciples together as a group. But there'd be many other appearances to individuals. And we get this next account. And we see the disciples doing something strange. Peter and John had gone to the very tomb, had run. In fact, John, I think, beats Peter. They're rushing there to see that the tomb is empty. And they've seen that Jesus is raised from the dead. They've seen him appear. And then John decides to highlight chapter 21. We see the disciples doing something completely different to what you think they should be doing. After having seen all this, their Messiah, their leader, their friend, crucified and yet raised from the dead. They should be excited. They should be thrilled. The kingdom of God, they can see that he is Lord and Jesus, God has raised him from the dead. But they're doing something else. John 21 verse 1. Afterwards, Jesus appeared to them again to his disciples by the sea of Tiberias. It happened this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and the two disciples two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We will go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. And early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize it was Jesus. I want to pause there. We see the disciples doing something completely different to what you think they would be. One, they're at somewhere where they shouldn't be. They're in Galilee. Yes, Jesus had told them to meet them on the mountain in Galilee. So they were there, but they were not on the mountain. They were somewhere different, doing something different. Now, there's been a lot of debate around what was actually going on and going through the disciples at this point. And you can hear about the different arguments, but some of the common arguments of why the disciples have kind of got into this rut. They've gone back to what they know. They've gone back to their very hometowns. They've gone back to what they used to do. They've gone into this rut. And the few views that are happening and why the disciples have done this. One is there's a feeling that Peter has given up. He may have seen the fact that Jesus is raised from the dead. He may have seen that. He had gone to the empty tomb. He's seen this, but yet the Romans are still occupying Jerusalem. Maybe he's caught up with that mindset. Jesus, the task is so great. The motion is so big. And I've denied you. I've messed up. God, I just need to go back to what I used to be good at. God, I need to go back to what I know, what I can control, what I can just do, what I know best. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you've gone back into this rut where you've experienced God. Maybe it was at a summer camp or a holiday club where you were so aware of the presence of God and God had worked through you. And you had such excitement. You were back into desire to know the Bible, and the Bible was so alive for you, and you were reading things, and everything in your conversation with others, you would just speak about God and what He's doing. And then something happened. Maybe a dry spell. Maybe something happened in ministry. Maybe something took place. And all of a sudden, you found yourself going back to what you knew. Fall back to. I'm not going to do ministry. I'll just come to church. I'm not going to do this. I just will do what I think is required of me. What I know and what I can control and what I can do. And you find yourself back in a boat. I find it amazing that Peter didn't find difficulty. We don't read much about this text. It's a very small, short little portion. It's not unpacked for us. But they found the boat and they found the net. Probably what they had from 2.5 years ago. Probably was there sitting on the side. They had the equipment that they needed. And so they just went back into that. Is that you tonight? Have you fallen back to what you know? Simply that. Another view on this is simply that Peter is so overwhelmed with what has taken place. He's so overwhelmed and so caught up in the emotions, I don't think we can understand fully what the disciples must have gone through. This roller coaster ride. Peter's so overwhelmed that he just needs to get out. And so he puts out a sign, "I've gone fishing." Goes just to pause, just to retreat. He's gone away from where God has told him to be. Just to try and find who he is. He's gone back just to try just gather his thoughts here. Maybe that's where you're at. Place where you're saying, "God, you know what? The situation just seems so rough. The trial so great. Life is just feels like so much pressure. God, I just need to bail out here. God, I just need to get out of this. God, I just need to move on from this. God, I just want to take a pause. I will be back. I just can't go on." And maybe that's where you're feeling at the moment. "God, I just can't go on. This is just too huge." The other thought around this as well, and I like this one commentator, he says this: the disciples simply just needed to eat. See, their stomachs was greater than their obedience of going where they're supposed to be. Their stomachs got the better of them, and mine often does. And their need for today became far bigger than what God was calling them to. Something bigger. Maybe you were there too. Maybe you're at a place saying, "God, I want to follow you. I want to do these things for you. But I just need to address this. I just want to finish this. God, I'm going to follow your will. I'm going to be so obedient to you. But I just want to do this first." And we start to put a pause. Trying to pause and say, "God, that comes later. Something else has got my attention here. Something else has caught me here." So where are you? What has got you into the boat? We see that the boat has brought them to a place where they just get failure again. They spend the night out. They're dedicated. This is not just casual fishermen. Like, if it's not happening within 10 minutes, I'm going to try cast my line somewhere else. And if it doesn't work again, I'm going to go home and rather fish on Wii or something like that. Something that can she get me somewhere. These guys are experienced fishermen. They're dedicated. They've been there the night. And yet, they've failed. They've caught nothing. Has the place of the rut, The place that's got you into the boat, are you feeling like it's just failing, like it's going nowhere? Nothing's taking place. Nothing seems to be going right. Maybe that's where you're at. And it gets to the place where they don't even recognize Jesus. They don't even recognize him on the sea, on the shore. Now, there can be a number of things. They could have a spiritual blindness. It could be because of the fact that they've been up the whole night. It's very hard to recognize somebody when you've been up the whole night. There's a whole bunch of factors to that, and I don't want to read too much into that. But I do find personally, sometimes when you get into a rut, and we get so caught up in the boat, I know that I sometimes miss Jesus. I miss going back to him. I miss connecting with him. And sometimes I start to avoid, and I become, his voice, which was so familiar, becomes so faint. What has got you into the boat? Well, how do we get out of this boat? How do we get out of this boat? And firstly, we've got to be willing to cast our nets onto the other side. Got to be willing to cast our nets onto the other side. Goes on to say from verse 4, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples did not recognize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" Just to say, the NIV's translated this word friends here. It's almost, the word is greater than friends. There is that companionship that is in this word, but it's almost like children. Like a father saying, "My children, my child, where are you?" And this heart desire that Jesus is speaking to them in. So children, haven't you caught any fish? And we see the first miracle take place here. No, they answered, a truthful fisherman. And just use one word. Most fishermen I've experienced or encountered have gone, almost, you know, there was one that got away and the story will come out. But here's their discouragement. No, they answered. Got to a place, no. There's nothing. We've got nothing. We haven't caught anything. Nothing's come close. These guys have worked hard. They didn't just cast the net out and just leave it. They've been pulling it back in and out and trying various things up all night. But Jesus says to them, verse 6, he says, "Throw your net onto the right side of the boat and you will find some." Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net because it was so large, the number of fish. See, the moments of success and the distance of success sometimes can just be a boat width. What was the difference here? Well, miracle number two, fishermen that listened. They did. They didn't argue around this. They simply did. Maybe it was going back to Luke 5 where they were told to cast the nets out again and they remembered that, or something in the subconscious was taking place there. Maybe something kindled, but these guys were so desperate that they listened to try something else. Now, I am a logical person. This does not make sense. You're casting a big net one side and just simply moving it to the other side. To me, I would argue and say, no. There's got to be somewhere else. There's got to be somewhere else. Can you not point us to the direction? But yet they did it. God is calling us back to a place of obedience. What has got you back into the boat? Maybe it's a sin. Maybe you've tried to go it alone. Maybe you've tried to be good enough for God and trying to work on your own salvation instead of realizing that it comes through Him and only through Him. Maybe you've tried that. But it comes to a place where we need to be obedient. Are we willing to cast our nets to the other side? Are we willing in our hearts to follow God when it doesn't make sense? Joshua amazes me with all his military skill that he had, and he had a wealth of experience. Choose to follow God, when God says, "Here's your strategy, just simply walk around the walls." It doesn't make sense. Are we willing to cast our nets to the other side? Are you willing to follow God no matter what? to get out of this boat, it means simply trusting in Him. Getting back to Him. God, I need You. I want to follow You. Am I willing to do this? Title the sermon tonight, and this is where I was going to go until I really sense God's just taking it in a bit of a different direction, was about the faith. The fact that these nets were so stretched. That these guys that were in such incredible obedience put out these nets, and these nets were so full with fish. It wasn't just that they caught one little random fish that was on the other side of the boat. They caught fish. The masses that had stretched the nets, the haul was great. A big haul. To the point we'll see just now that they started counting the number in this. Why? Well, some arguments around counting the number, just saying that there was the number of species that were in, God saying that this is a certain amount of species, but we now discover later on that there are more species of fish there. But I think this was just a simple fisherman. So great was the catch that they had to count it so they could talk around. I caught 153 fish. This is what took place. And they were large fish. So great was this. But it started with an act of obedience. You may be in this rut. Maybe in that place. But maybe God wants to use you for something bigger. Maybe God wants to take you out of this. Maybe God is asking you to do something different. And in this circumstance and this situation, it seems so overwhelming. And you're caught in this and saying, God, I just want that break. God, I simply want that break. Maybe you're saying, God, I just want to do this one thing first. And God says, leave it. I'm calling you to this. I'm calling you to something bigger. And it just simply means lowering your net on the other side. Are you going to be obedient to that? Because God is able to do incredible things. And maybe it is just on the other side. He goes on to say here, said, throw on verse 6, throw your net to the right side of the boat and find some. And you'll find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because so large was the number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is Lord. It is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. And the other disciples followed on the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. The next point, so are we willing to cast our nets to the other side? Next, are we willing to go back to Him? Are we willing to go back to Him? We see this miracle take place. John recognizes the nets, and John must now flash back to Jesus in the boat, telling them, cast the net the other side, and remembering what happened. The catch was so big that the nets were breaking there. And John remembers this, and instantly we see John, who didn't recognize Jesus on the shore, shouting, it's the Lord. Okay, he doesn't go, whoa, who's that stranger? Check the net. He doesn't worry about the catch. Immediately his response is the Lord. And Peter, being the man of action, I love this, doesn't worry about the catch either. Doesn't worry about the other disciples at all either. Wraps his outer garment. And the reason for wrapping the outer garment was customary to greet somebody when you greeted somebody to be fully clothed. And here he is, probably just in his undergarments. And wraps this around to get it wet so that he could be fully dressed to go greet the Lord. And desires just to meet with Him. Maybe we need to get back to that place where we design just to be with Him. Sometimes when we're in the rut, we need to follow the obedience and say, God, I want to step out for You. But maybe we need to get back to that heart of going back to God. Saying, Jesus, I want to meet with You. I desire to long to connect with You. Maybe we need to get back to basics. Spend time in His Word. Spend time around fellowship with others. Getting back to an accountability with someone saying, I am in the rut. I need Your help here. But I want to get back to God. Are we willing to dive in, jump in, get towards Him? That's what we're called to do. And then lastly, Jesus calls us to a fellowship with Him. So he desired to get back to him. And the fellowship desires to call us to a fellowship with him. We see it go on here. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say it, "It is the Lord," he wrapped out his outer garments around him, for he had taken it off, jumped into the water, and then other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. For they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards, and when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there and a fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the nets ashore, and it was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. See this incredible miracle, God's provision there, is that the net this time didn't get torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. And this is how the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. I love this beautiful picture. Okay, it connects with the South African heart. No, gaan ons braai. And Jesus got this fire that's going on. Jesus has already got the coals burning. It's ready. He knew the miracle was going to happen. Jesus knew the disciples weren't where they were supposed to be. Yet he has this fire going. Not one point in this text does Jesus say, "Hey guys, what are you doing? Why have you gone back fishing?" Jesus got the coals. He's got the food already. He doesn't need what they're trying to do. They're very, maybe their hearts of going to go get food and try to run and rely on that. But Jesus has got this happening. This fellowship that they have with Jesus. Something special. A Greek friend of mine, taught me something. And he spoke about different levels of friendship. And he said there's a certain level when you've broken bread with someone. That you'll do a lot for them when you've had a shared a meal together. And there's a special intimacy that takes place. And we see Jesus here breaking bread with the disciples. But who are these disciples? Well, you've got Peter, who has just denied Jesus, kind of led the disciples astray by taking them fishing. And here he is, and as he's looking at this brine, so many flashbacks must be coming as the breaking of the bread and remembering the Last Supper and seeing the fish and the loaves and remembering the miracle of feeding the 5,000. And so much flashbacks must be going, and then looking towards the coals and remembering the fire when he denied Jesus. And he has Thomas, doubting Thomas. You know, is it really you? You know, here's this guy that's supposed to be really helping to establish God's church. And here he's just a man of doubt. And we see the other disciples, the two unnamed, and those that fled. Those who ran from Jesus in the garden. Those who didn't face the soldiers. Those who had abandoned him are standing right there with him. And what is Jesus doing? He's breaking the bread. He's sharing fellowship with him. And I want to highlight this point tonight, because sometimes the things that have got us into the boat sometimes try to keep us into the boat. Sometimes it's the ways we mess up. Oh man, don't I mess up sometimes? And sometimes we're so scared to run off to Jesus, and we're so caught in this, "God, I need to fix this before I can come to you. God, I need to do this. I need to be right. I need to be this kind of person. I need to do this." But God calls us to fellowship with him. Why? Because of who he is. Not because of who we are, but because of what he has done. We're able to come to him. We're able to break bread with him. We're able to fellowship with him. Let us get back to that heart. God, I need to be with you. Thank you that I'm able to be with you, that I can come to you. We see later on in the text, and I'm not highlighting that tonight, Jesus' challenge to Peter to really just kind of restores Peter. And we need to get back to that place. I'm just saying, God, I just need to be with you. So what's kept you in that boat? Because God is calling you to stretch the net. He's calling you to something greater than just sitting in a boat. Are you willing to cast it to the other side? Are you willing to run after Him? And are you willing to fellowship with Him? God is calling you to bigger things than just a boat. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you know us. You know the things where we sometimes mess up. You know the things we've done. You know the things that hold us back. You know the things that have just kept us into that boat. And you know even what are our boats. Just as you knew the disciples. Lord, help us to have a fresh start. Help us to realize that it is you. Be reminded, as John responded in saying, that it is Lord. May we be doing that, Lord. Help us to. Help us to not realize that these boats are not bigger than you, but to be obedient to you, to throw our nets onto the other side. And Father God, just direct us. Thank you that you're able to restore us. Not because of what we've done, but because of who you are. Thank you for being you. Thank you for your great love. Pray this in your name. Amen.